This Galactic Netcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of digital audiobooks, featuring more than 100,000 titles to choose from. For you, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Go to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts to sign up today.
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It is Thursday, February 20th, 2014. Welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is the Alien Invasion number 97. From the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, in the USA, I'm Dave, Mr. Butler Nelson. Joining me this evening from Wausau, Wisconsin, Brad, Constable Collins Ludwig, and Anessa Dot Moyens from Denton, Texas. Good evening, Brad and Anessa.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday! Your spankings are in the mail.
Thank you. Not looking forward to that at all, actually. Some cake would have been nice.
You said no to cake.
You said no to cake, so screw you.
Well, it's hard to eat for all of us to eat the same cake. We're all in different places, right?
It doesn't have to be the same cake. It should be cake in general.
You could have had cake. I mean, I'm not stopping you from having cake.
No, it's whatever.
Brad's like, you know, I don't care. I really don't care. You just whatever, you know.
I've got cookies my girlfriend made and sent to me. So
aren't you special?
I don't eat your cake.
Well, fine. Let's just start the show, okay?
Oh, fine.
All right. This is the podcast where we talk about aliens and aliens from all over the place, from the galaxy, from the universe, in your bedroom. Under your bed.
What?
In your car.
Ew. That's gross. I don't want aliens in my bed.
Extraterrestrial aliens and their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, and in real life. We should divide the show into three sections. The news, the creature feature. That's the spotlight of a certain kind of alien. And our picks for the week. If you want to watch us live, we record the show Thursday nights. Right around 7 o'clock Central Time, that's PM, in the Central Time Zone of the U.S. Or you can watch us later on YouTube. We're at youtube.com/GalacticNetcast. So without further ado, let's get on with it here.
That's what she said.
In the news.
All right, Brad. Story number one's all yours.
Story number one is me. So, the big reveal for Guardians of the Galaxy, Marvel's new sci-fi comic book movie, they released individual snippets explaining each of the main characters of the story.
Okay, before you get any further, Brad, tell us why this relates to the Alien Invasion podcast.
Because the Guardians of the Galaxy are a crew of misfits, and most are aliens.
Ding, 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 ding. All right.
Exactly. So instead of having us, you know, show you a clip or talk about, you know, all this stuff that you've probably already seen, one thing kind of stuck out to me was the story about how Vin Diesel actually got to do the voice of the alien character named Groot.
And
Groot is a plant-based life form. Tree. He's got, you know, like basically tree bark and organic matter, which is plant-based, which makes up his body. He is very big. He is very strong. But his race does not have his race has a very elaborate vocabulary, but it doesn't translate well to the human ear. So the only thing that you hear him say are the words, "I am Groot." but he could say, I am Groot, and he could be reciting Shakespeare for all you know.
So, let me get this straight. All we hear is, I am Groot, but correct. In actuality, he's saying a lot more than that.
Correct.
Okay.
So, the story goes, and this was just before San Diego Comic-Con last summer, Vin Diesel had posted on Twitter that, and this is, I'll give you a word-for-word recitation of what his post was on Twitter. Marvel has requested a meeting. No idea what for. Ha ha, you probably know better than me. So there was this huge buzz and people speculating what Vin Diesel would be doing for Marvel and what character he could portray. And there was such a firestorm of activity over this on Facebook and on Twitter and social media in general. Here's what actually happened. Vin Diesel made it up.
Awesome.
Vin Diesel, at the time that he had posted that, had no meetings with anybody from Marvel or any contact with anybody from Marvel. What ended up happening is, with all of the buzz that was generated, people at Marvel went, huh, that's interesting. People are really excited about Vin Diesel. Maybe we should do something with him.
So he made it happen. He basically,
yes. He
put it out there. It was kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy in a way. He willed it.
Yes, he really did. And this is not unlike something that happened at Marvel once before. A writer named Mark Miller did something similarly, said he had something going on with Marvel and everybody was all abuzz wondering what it would be. He had nothing going on with Marvel, but Marvel gave him a call because they noticed all this activity.
take note, job seekers.
if you want to make something happen, lie.
Yeah, exactly.
And put it on social media.
Yeah.
I have a meeting with the president. I'm going to post that on Twitter right now.
Do it, Brad. I dare you. I triple dog dare you.
So there you go. That's the, I think, the most interesting story that I've seen out of the, instead of rehashing everything that's been going on with Guardians of the Galaxy, I thought that was the coolest story to come out of that.
Well, you didn't really explain his language, though. Really?
Well, it's hard to explain. It is what the human ear hears as I am Groot is far more complex in his native language. It's just the equivalent of what a human being or another creature would hear, whereas somebody else from his race would be able to carry on a conversation, and all you would hear would be, I am, you know, whatever their name is. I am Groot.
How,
I am whatever.
How does he communicate with the rest of the Guardians of the Galaxy? Or can they?
Usually, I mean, if mimicry, he moves to something, you know, you kind of get context, essentially.
I bet you Vin had one full day in the recording studio. I am Groot. Done. I'm out of here.
Well, I'm sure there's different inflections and intonations based on, you know, whatever else is going on. So
I am Groot.
It's a one-line deal, but there's other, you know, I'm sure that there are other ways that they could make it sound, or his delivery could change to. I liked Edward hanging out behind your shoulder, being all creepy.
For the people watching, I've got this half cutout stand up of Edward from the Twilight series.
And from the Toilet series.
Yeah, he's been in the last couple of episodes of our podcasts, just kind of hanging out behind me. It's not mine. Not mine originally. It's the people whose house I'm in right now.
Uh huh.
It was a little distracting for me. That's why I took it down.
Robert Patterson is dreamy, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, totally.
He's a bit of a creeper looking over Dave's shoulder tonight.
Ow.
All right, Brad. Is that it?
That is it.
Good job. I can't wait for that trailer is amazing. Do you think it captured the feeling of the series, of that comic book series?
You know, it's one of the characters, Rocket Raccoon, first appeared in The Incredible Hulk in 1976. The Guardians of the Galaxy kind of came out of that later on. But they're a group of completely different beings that end up being together with a sort of a common purpose. I think it really, really kind of does. And it looks like, if you've seen the trailer, Hooked on a Feeling is one of the songs that is a part of the soundtrack for Guardians of the Galaxy.
You know how something can be subliminal sometimes? Before the show started tonight, I was singing that song and I had no idea why I was singing it. But I'm just realizing now that I must have seen your stuff about Guardians of the Galaxy on the sheet, on our prep sheet.
Sure.
And it came back to me. Yeah, that trailer is brilliant. And who's the actor that plays the human? He's on Parks and Rec.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, he's unbelievably funny.
And that's really what it needed.
Just him looking at the camera is funny to me, you know?
Yeah. And James Gunn. James Gunn is the director of the film, and Slither is one of my favorite alien-based horror films of the past decade, for sure. So,
cool.
It's going to be really good. I'm really looking forward to it. And we get a brief glimpse of Karen Gillian in her Nebula outfit. So.
Yeah, she looks scary. I would not want to run into her in a dark alley or a dark anything really.
And which is good because her character is pretty horrible. So,
all right.
Good on her.
All right. I'm good heads up. I'm glad I know because I want to go into the movie. By the way, the movie hits theaters August?
That's a good question. I know it's this summer.
I'm surprised, Brad, that you don't know this already, Mr. Fanboy.
I know.
Come on.
I'm terrible.
Get with the
I'm a
program.
Horrible comic book geek. August 1st.
Okay. Had a feeling. Actually, Hooked on a Feeling.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the second story. I actually have a couple of stories. One is just something to point in your direction. It's a video I found from a couple years ago. Somebody, a friend of ours, actually Corey Scott, who has done, I think he guested on this show. Anessa, was it this show or Time Traveling Robots in Space? Corey. Yeah.
I think it was this one. I don't know because I wasn't here.
Okay. All right. So, Corey, good point. Yeah. You
I'm like,
know,
I wasn't
then.
Here, so I don't really know.
Yeah. Okay.
I remember the show title was Great Scott, but I don't know for which
that's
show.
That's right. Okay. So.
Oh, that would be, that was, Alien Invasion.
Okay, all right. So Corey posted this video on my timeline, on my Facebook timeline. It's an incredible video of these guys. They see something in the clouds, and you're not really sure what they're looking at first. So they pull over to the side of the road. This is it's either South American country or someplace in Europe. They pull over the road. They all get out, and they start looking at this cloud. And then you begin seeing a thing moving from behind the cloud, a solid silver object. And if it's a fake, it's one hell of a fake because it's moving like an object would move, like a solid object would move from behind a cloud. And then it jets off and some lights I believe, come out from it or something like that. You'll have to check out the video. We'll have the link posted in the show notes, and you can see for yourself and let us know what you think, if you think it's real or fake or what. Was there a third choice? Probably not. Because it's not a natural phenomenon at all. It's either faked or an actual UFO. It's not like a weird formation of the clouds. It's a genuine solid metal shiny object from behind the clouds that looks remarkably like a real UFO. So, did you check it out in NASA? Did you see it? Did you look at it?
I saw part of the video. I don't know. I would guess probably a fake. I think Brad has it up on his screen.
Yeah, he does. Now, what do you think they were looking at? Because they actually are outside. They're in a car. They pull over. They get out. So do you think they staged that? Do you think they staged the cloud? Like, pretending they were actually looking up at something, and then later on, like in post-processing, they made the UFO?
That would be my guess.
Okay. All right, so that's...
Because otherwise it wouldn't be nearly as believable.
That's true. Yeah. Maybe they were looking at something else.
Maybe.
They thought was a UFO, and they thought, huh, this doesn't look real enough. Let's... make it look really
real.
Let's
enhance it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we'll put the link in the show notes and you can decide for yourself. Second story I have is a roundup of fall TV pilots. Now, pilots are an episode of a show that a production company or a film studio is proposing to a network, or they film it to shop it around to networks to become a full run of a series. And there's a few on this list, there's a couple on this list that are alien related, and these are not necessarily going to be a series. They're just pilot episodes. So this is from io9.com. The first one is called The Visitors. It's based on a Ray Bradbury short story. Have you guys read that short story before, The Visitors?
Is that the name of the short story?
Maybe not. Maybe they
changed the
title. I
don't think that was the name of the short story, but I recently bought The Invisible Man, and it contains the short story that that's based off of.
Okay. All right. So
I haven't had a chance to read it, though.
The premise, and hopefully this doesn't spoil it for you, Anessa. Maybe you want to turn me off while I read this.
Unmute you. Just wave.
What? Okay.
I said...
Okay.
No,
got
I
it.
Haven't muted you yet because you weren't talking, but I said, I will mute you. Just wave.
Okay. So the premise is it's a race against the clock to defeat an unseen alien enemy out to destroy the world using our most precious resource against us, our children. Not the children, Brad. Oh, no. So that is one pilot for a series that is being proposed. The second one on this list from io9.com is The Messengers. And here's... Okay, Anessa, you can come back. The synopsis from The Messengers is an object falls to the Earth, and a group of strangers, all unconnected, of course, die because of a strange energy pulse. But then they reawaken. And now the rest of humanity wants to blame them for the oncoming apocalypse. And, the description is kind of vague on this, at least according to the io9.com post, but it has been mentioned in other areas that there might be, this may refer to angels. The messengers could be angels. I'm hoping it's aliens. I don't want no angels. I want some aliens in my TV. Not no angels. And the third series, which is a full series, it's not just a pilot. This is an actual series that will be airing this summer. And this is from two separate articles. I found both of them, and I wanted to include both. The show is called Extent, and it's produced by Steven Spielberg and starring Halle Berry, This is a TV show with Halle Berry on that's going to be airing this summer on CBS. And it revolves around a female astronaut, Halle Berry, who returns home to her family after a year in outer space and her struggles to come to terms with normal life. To complicate matters, she's pregnant, and that might pose a threat to the future of the human race. As an extra wrinkle, Molly's husband is a scientist working in robotics, specifically creating humanoid androids. Then there's probably an alien involved, most likely Halle Berry's character's baby. So that last one is an actual series that you can watch. You can watch on your TV this summer on CBS. It's called, what is it called again? Oh, Extent. And the others are The Visitors and The Messengers. Those two titles are awfully close to each other, aren't they? The Visitors and The Messengers.
Yeah. Oh, the short story for The Visitors is The Zero Hour.
Oh, I've heard of that before. I may have read that before, too.
I don't think I have, but it's possible.
So, of these three, which one sounds the most interesting to you guys?
I'm kind of thinking, well, I haven't really heard what you said about The Messenger, or not The Messengers, but The Visitors.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm limited to two, and of the two, I would probably check out the one with Halle Berry.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. I mean, she comes back from space, pregnant. They don't say anything about if she was with any dude or not in space, probably. So maybe there's like a, was she cheating on her husband with somebody on the mission or not, and it's something extraterrestrial involved there. Plus, you know what? Aliens and robots. You can't beat that. Come on. So
that's true.
Brad, we can't hear you.
So all you need is time travel, and then you've got the perfect storm.
Time traveling robots in space, exactly. Good point.
Boom.
And the Alien Invasion podcast. Wow, my mind just blew my mind, Brad. Blew my mind. So of these shows, what are you looking forward to the most of these three shows? If the other two actually come to series, we know that Extent is. Of the three, what piques your interest the most? I need some kind of like music when I ask these kind of questions.
Yeah, we need the Jeopardy. The Jeopardy music here. Yep.
Or we could just,
you know, I guess I would go with The Visitors.
Okay. Is it because...
I mean, in all honesty, the only one that sort of piques my interest is Extant, but...
Mm-hmm. See,
the other two,
The Messengers sounds too much like the 4400 or whatever that show was, where those people got taken... And they had nothing in common, but then they actually found out about each other, that kind of thing. So, plus there's the whole angels aspect to it, the religious angle, which I don't like. So, yeah, I think I'm looking forward to Extent the most as well. All right, that's my story. Let's move on to Inessa's. What do you got for us?
Nothing. No, I'm kidding. So, the question is, if aliens ever visit us, will they be atheists? Or will they have a religion?
Well, in the tradition of science fiction, there have been some aliens who have had religions.
That's true.
I'm basing it off science fiction, but tell us more, please.
Well, Richard Dawkins is certain that they will and has, certain that they will be atheists, and he has tweeted as much. He says, if we ever talk to aliens, their civilization will be far more advanced than ours. Because of distances involved, they won't be religious. So, obviously, this is just another way to express the belief that religion is a delusion which we must outgrow to survive. But won't the aliens who visit us have some reason to do so? And won't their reasons come from in the form of stories and hopes reinforced by ritual? Lots of good questions.
He must have
even
pissed,
in Star Trek.
He must have pissed off some people when he said that.
I'm sure he got a bunch of people's panties in a wad. So, the article goes on to say that even in Star Trek, the strictly logical characters are the exception among a crew much given to ritual and myth. What else could make them go? Like, what else could make them boldly go? And if we have a choice, it would be better to be visited by aliens with a sense that has that the cosmos wanted them to explore it and to find new things, rather than those who knew exactly what they wanted from our planet, that, since they'd be so much more advanced than us, could only be raw materials. So
there's a couple of things I wanted to bring up. The logical ones from Star Trek, they must have been talking about the Vulcans.
Like the Vulcans.
Yeah.
And
even the Vulcans had somewhat of a religious type of thinking. I mean, logic was kind of their religion, right? In a way. And, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I guess, kind of? Like...
They were spiritual. Spiritual.
Well, they were... Yeah. Wow, you could kind of argue that a little bit, though.
Yeah. Having logic doesn't necessarily mean that they're spiritual. It just means that they don't believe in nonsense. And to some people,
well,
religion would be
No, they do
nonsense.
Have a bit of ceremony, though. I mean,
that's true.
A lot of ceremony. I mean, when Spock got his Katra back, that was like hours and hours. if not days, I think.
Yeah. So, you could argue that kind of either way.
For those of you not watching the video, every time, at least once every episode, Brad will put his hand over his face. And more times out of not, that ends up being the captured image for our YouTube video. It's so funny.
That's funny.
So is there more to that story? You're doing the...
No, that's pretty much it.
What if they're...
That was pretty much the story. I just thought it was a really interesting idea.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating idea. But I'd like a definition of religion, because religion can be a lot of things, I believe. I mean, you can believe in one powerful, like, force in the universe, and that could be a religion, right? Not necessarily a god per se, but like a force, an energy throughout the galaxy, right? Or the universe.
It depends on what the definition of the force is. Because, I mean, you could get into, like, scientific terminology, and that's not exactly religious.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about, like, some unseen mystical force that you believe exists and is there, then it'd be kind of on the religious side.
Now, let me ask you guys this question. Do you think, would believing in a god or a religion make you a better or worse space traveler explorer? Would you be better off being an atheist, or would having a belief in a religion help you in exploring the galaxy?
Wow.
It depends on the person, really.
That's true.
It would kind of depend on the whole structure of the society.
I think if you were to encounter a lot of different planets and species along the way, I think not having a religion would help you, just because you would be open to new and different ideas and not want to impose your beliefs on beings, on species.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you have a belief or a really strong belief, like you have a really strong faith in a god or multiple gods or whatever, and then you go explore, and then something happens along the way that you discover something that you wish you hadn't and it completely shatters your belief system, then you're kind of like, well, now what? What's the point?
Yeah. So you'd almost, you know, if you were the head of this organization sending people out into space, you'd almost want people without strong religious belief because they might break down halfway through their trip and go, oh my God, this doesn't jive with my religion. My world is ending, kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
But then again,
I don't know. There's also the, the thought of you're doing something, you know, depending on what stage of space travel they're at, you know, if you believe in some higher power that, you know, if you're going to risk your life to go somewhere, maybe believing in a god or a higher power or energy or whatever, having some kind of religion could, you know, bring you comfort knowing that you're taking this dangerous mission and that there's something for you afterwards.
Yeah, when you're hurtling through a asteroid field with the possibility of one of those little asteroids puncturing your hull and you dying from like radiation sickness, you might want something to cling on to. And not a Klingon, yeah. not a Klingon, because you wouldn't want to cling on to a Klingon. They're spiky.
They're angry.
Yeah. All right, interesting. That was a great thought experiment right there. We should do more of those. Let's try to find a story every week with that kind of question. The big questions of the universe.
Indeed, it's something to think about.
We would love your thoughts on this, dear listener. Let us know via feedback. Call our voicemail number. It's 805-328-3966. 805-328-3966. Or email galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. Galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. We would love to hear what you thought of that or anything else we have or will be talking about here on the Alien Invasion Podcast. All right, time for this.
And now it's time for Creature Feature.
Nice, Brad. Very nice. All right, you got the Creature Feature this week, right?
I do.
What did you dig up?
I dug up another Marvel Comics alien race known as the Saurids. The Saurids are amphibious reptiloids that possess superhuman strength, durability, and endurance, and also possess both lungs and gills. They come from the planet Timor, and the habitat of the planet is 85% water. And the other 15% is land, a large chain of islands that are tropical.
Let me ask you a question before you go any further, Brad. What comic universe is this from? What comic book company is this from?
This is a Marvel comic Alien, mm-hmm. And one of the members of the Star Jammers.
Are they a rock band? Are they?
No, they are not. Okay. Actually, the Star Jammers are headed by Cyclops, Scott Summers' dad.
Cool.
So, yeah. The gravity of Timor is 200% of Earth standard, so we would have a very hard time getting around. The atmosphere is 75% nitrogen and 24% oxygen, which is pretty explosive, but hey, it works for them. The population of the planet is 4 billion, and their government style is a council of philosopher/scientists that seem to have very little authority. I don't understand exactly what that means. Oh, that's right, because they're a part of... crap.
They're part of crap?
They're part of the Shi'ar Empire. They are... yeah, their planet is overseen by a... Basically, there's a queen that oversees a whole group of planets. So, okay. Yeah, they do have a local government, but at the end of the day, the queen determines what's going to happen.
I like the idea of having philosophers in government. I wish we did that here.
Philosopher scientists.
Yeah.
Their technology level is comparable to Earth's, and their cultural traits are philosophical, but they are also skilled in warfare. The particular the name of the being, the Sorid, who is a part of the Star Jammers, his name is Chode.
Chode.
Chod. Yeah.
Nice.
And about 9 feet tall, incredibly muscled, and green scaly skin like a reptile. So
do some of them actually live in water?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they have the ability. They have both lungs and gills, so
do they live
in and out of water.
Do most of them live on the surface, or most of them live in the ocean?
You know, I would have to say that most of them live in the ocean because in this particular case, the planet is 85% water.
And what's the population again?
4 billion.
Yeah. There's not a lot of room for if your planet's 85% water with that population.
Correct. So there you go. The Saurids from the Marvel Universe, a part of the Shi'ar Empire.
What comic books do these guys show up in?
The X-Men. I would have to look it up, but my guesses would be I know X-Men for sure. Fantastic Four.
It's interesting, the whole concept of people from space or, aliens from the galaxy someplace showing up in comics, because I guess when I think of comics, I think more of Earth-based, besides Superman, of course, but Earth-based, like either mutants or somebody who gets powers or somebody who has gadgets. Is that a pretty good percentage in the world of comics? Is there a pretty big percentage of characters that come from outer space, Brad?
Technically, no.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. I mean, in comics, like what's interesting between Marvel and DC is the characters in Starjammers, and I was talking about the Shi'ar Empire. They have, I'm trying to remember the name of the group, but there is a group that works specifically for the Empire that is the equivalent of DC's Legion of Superheroes.
Okay.
So you do find some interesting similarities between characters, between the different companies. But, overall, for the most part, it's humans that have been given gifts or enhanced by technology or whatever, for the most part, that are the heroes in comics.
A lot of times, the aliens are the enemy, right?
They can be, or a catalyst for change, whether it be good or bad.
God, we should totally do a comic books podcast. You got so much knowledge inside that head, Brad. It's not going to good use.
Such useful knowledge in my head of comic books.
No, I mean, it's useful. I mean, comic book knowledge is important in this world of pop culture that we live in, because, I mean, who else would be explaining Guardians of the Galaxy if not you? Because I had no idea who they are, where they came from, and you were the person that sat us down and said, "Hey guys, these are who they are. This is what they do. This is why they're being made the way they are." You're the explainer of all things comics.
All right. Here is a picture of. I'm going to zoom this in a little bit. Oops, wrong way.
Wow, some big guys.
So, yeah, this is Chode. of the Starjammers.
Tell me that somebody has made a picture of a bunch of those guys with instruments on an album cover that says Starjammers. That would be awesome.
Well, let's see what the internet has for us.
Okay, while you look that up, let's move on. Thank you very much. That was the creature feature, our look, our spotlight of a certain kind of alien in history. Let's move on to our picks. And while Brad looks that up, Anessa, what did you watch or take into your senses this week related to aliens?
I ended up watching an episode of Dark Matter's Twisted But True TV show. I believe it came out on the Science Channel, but I don't know if it's still airing or not. The episode that I watched basically has three stories. It says, I have Einstein's brain, unidentified flying Nazis, and killer thoughts. And in case anyone's wondering, like, these titles are actually pretty self-explanatory. But I have Einstein's brain examines the case of Dr. Thomas Harvey, who stole Albert Einstein's brain in order to discover the basis of genius.
Oh, okay. I thought this was like an anthology series, but this is like a documentary series.
Yeah, it's kind of a documentary. Well,
docudrama.
Yeah, there's a lot of reenacting and a lot of hokey imagery.
Okay, that would be a docudrama.
And it's hosted by, I don't remember his name, but he stars in Fringe and he stars in Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, the father, right? Or no?
I never saw Fringe. I just remember seeing him on the imagery. But he's the son of Ichabod Crane on Sleepy Hollow.
I think that's the guy who played Walter, and I forget his name. He's the older gentleman, right?
John Noble.
John Noble, okay.
There we go, John Noble. So it's hosted by John Noble, and he basically tells the story of these particular incidents. So he's talking about Dr. Thomas Harvey and how a not-so-bright brain stole a brilliant brain, and how he became really obsessed with Einstein's brain and trying to learn what, if anything, Einstein's so smart. And there's some reenacting, and you can tell it's done in front of a green screen. And they did that on purpose to make it look cheesy. But the unidentified flying Nazis segment looks at the Kecksburg UFO incident and its possible connection with Nazi anti-gravity experimentation. I forget what year it was now, but it was, I believe, in Pennsylvania is where Kecksburg is. And there were numerous sightings of this bright object falling to Earth. And a lot of people thought that it was a UFO, but local officials were like, it's just a meteorite, no big deal, these happen all the time, it burned up in the atmosphere. But you had a couple of people that one of them went to investigate. I want to say it might have been a firefighter, and the area in which they had seen the potentially crashed like UFO or meteorite. They basically have the military already there and blocked off the area. And this radio host had heard about it. He caught news or caught wind of it. And so he went and he talked to the firefighter that, you know, had witnessed this and whatnot. And he was recording his show, and a bunch of people showed up and confiscated a whole bunch of tapes that he had already recorded for his story and documents and left. So it was really interesting. Some people think that it was, you know, extraterrestrial falling from space. And then there were some other people that thought it might have been technology from Nazi Germany.
Why do they think that?
Because they had discovered this, I want to say it was an underground bunker where a lot of scientists had done research in Germany. And at the end of World War II, a lot of the scientists had ventured off, disappeared. They don't really know what happened to some of them. But one of the soldiers that they encountered was talking about some of the experiments and projects that they had been, you know, that people had been working on, with one of them being an anti-gravity, like a device that could basically fly or float, hover, without needing any sort of propellers to keep it lifted or momentum to keep it flying. So,
and that, ladies and gentlemen,
and that's why they think that it was potentially an anti-gravity experiment.
But why this case in particular? Why I mean, there's a lot of UFO sightings. Why is this one so special that they think it's related to that?
I think a lot of it had to do with the timing of both encounters. When they caught wind of this, some people believe that one of the scientists that was supposedly working on this project was brought over to the United States after the war. And there's just a lot of people that, for whatever reason, think that it was part of the Nazis' experiment, like one of their devices that they managed to develop. But,
and without this incident, we probably wouldn't have that crazy movie about Nazis on the moon.
I know. This is probably the inspiration for it.
Yeah.
Like, man, they must have kept going.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
And then the third story was called Killer Thoughts, and it examines the psychic arms race between the U.S. and the Soviet Russia during the Cold War, the USSR.
In Soviet Russia? you're talking about, like, what do they call that? Where you can project your thoughts.
It was telepathy. Well, it was telekinesis is what they were fighting. Part of the Cold War, because the U.S. had heard through the grapevine that this, I believe this lady, I forget her name now, was able to move objects with her mind. And they were working on developing her mental abilities and doing research to try to get other people to unlock their mental ability to perform telekinesis. So that way you could stop somebody's heart. So it's a new type of warfare. It's like with the mind and not so much with guns. And so supposedly she was able to stop a frog's heart from beating.
Or just happened the same time when she was trying to.
I'm sorry, what?
Or just happened to stop while this experiment was going on.
It started back up, though.
Yeah,
from
that's
boredom.
True. Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right.
But yeah, that was the third segment. And so, yeah, that's the episode. If people are interested in watching any of those segments,
I've never heard of this show. It sounds interesting. I'm gonna have to look it up, and you know, we'll put
I think it was on the Science Channel, is because I remember seeing this episode once before, and I think it was when I had the Science Channel, and then I completely forgot that this show existed until I came across it on Amazon.
Okay, well, we'll put the link to Yeah, it'll be on, well, since it's on Amazon already, we'll put the link to our store. And that way, if you want to watch it, you can buy it through our store at galacticnetcast.com and help out the network financially with your, just because you viewed a show, that is one way to help out our network. All right, let's move on with picks to me. My pick is a short film called The Overture. Sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? The Overture.
Tell us more, Dave.
Like music.
Well, there's no music involved at all, and I don't know why it's called Overture, but it's a cool title. I was kind of lazy. I went on to Vimeo.com. They have some good stuff on Vimeo and decided to just search Alien Invasion. Found this short film. Not the best, but I could see it being sort of in the category of the short film that got District 9 made. If they put just a little bit more money into this, they could make it look pretty cool. And if they wanted to make a full-fledged, theatrical, full-length movie out of this, they could if they wanted to. It's an interesting concept. It's actually set before another movie that the same people were working on called The Medic. And I couldn't find The Medic anywhere, so I don't know if they got this made or not. But either way, this was supposed to take place before the events of this other movie. Kind of confusing. But the basic premise is there's an alien invasion going on, and this one short film is set around this outpost in Canada someplace because they're wearing Canadian, and I didn't look it up because it's Canadian. It just happened to be Canadian. Canadian military members, and they're basically at an outpost defending themselves against these aliens. But there's a twist here because there's aliens that obviously look like aliens, but when the aliens shoot you with their darts, I guess they have darts, you get turned into a zombie. So it's aliens and zombies in the same film, which is a kind of a cool combination, right?
Perfect storm.
Yeah, it is a perfect storm. And I'm intrigued. I would love to see them build on this premise and make it into a full-fledged movie. It sounds, I mean, come on. Zombies are hot. Aliens are hot. Let's do it, you know? Maybe add some robots in there as well.
Define beavers. Do you find zombies attractive?
No, not in that way. As in popular, Brad.
Oh, okay.
Popular. So, it's very short. You could tell the filmmakers were showing off their ability to make bullets and explosions in Final Cut or whatever they used. Because there was a lot of that, and there was a lot of swearing. It seemed like every other word was an F or S word. So we'll have the link in the show notes if you would like to
fish
check it out.
Fish and steak.
Yeah, love fish and steak.
Fish sticks.
All right, that's my pick. Let's move on to, and Brad will wrap it up. Did you find your answer that you were looking for before you get into your pick?
I could not find an image of the Starjammers as rock musicians.
Okay,
so
damn it. Okay.
Sorry. Internet has failed us.
Somebody out there work on it for next time.
Well, now that we've said it, it's probably going to be called into existence within the next day or two.
Yep.
All right. So, one thing that I've always wanted to do is watch the original, The Day the Earth Stood Still from 1951. It's really interesting to go back and look at black and white sci-fi films to see how well they stand up. I mean, obviously, special effects back then were not anything near what they are now. But it's just really fascinating to take a look at the storytelling of the time. You know, what are they trying to portray? What is the message of the film? Sci-fi is just kind of a vehicle in which to wrap a story around. You know, it's the artifice of what the story is that you're trying to tell. And watching this classic film, it was very interesting to see kind of the thought processes of the time. I mean, obviously we had this is 1951, so we're in the middle of the Red Scare, the Cold War, so you know, we don't get along with the Russians. weapons and so on and so forth. And nuclear power is, you know, the atom bomb. These, you know, words are thrown around quite a bit. So in the day the Earth stood still, Klaatu, who is the alien who comes to Earth, wants to talk with the heads of state for all the nations. He lands in America, and of course the U.S. wants to have the president speak with him and have the message be delivered to him. But Klaatu kind of knows that that's not the way to do it, that he needs to speak with everybody and have them draw their own conclusions, and they need to have the message firsthand and not through somebody else. In the course of the film, he does escape from captivity in the Earth, you know, in the U.S. hospital, and actually kind of gets a chance to walk around as a regular guy and experience life on Earth. And there's a lot of things that he does that are different and goofy, but a lot of the questions that, and he ends up getting a room at a boarding house in this area, and he ends up meeting this little boy who lives there with his mother and starts to kind of see the Earth, or at least this particular area, through the kid's eyes and asking him questions about things. And it all kind of boils down to, at the end, that he ends up realizing that going through the political route is pointless, and he ends up speaking with a group of scientists from all over the world and delivers his message to them, stating the purpose of why he is there on the planet and what the future may hold for them, and that you just have to be good people.
That's the great
thing. What's that?
I was going to say, that's the great thing about movies and film. You know, they can tell a moral message without shoving it down your throat. Star Trek did that so well, you know?
Yeah, Star Trek did it incredibly well. And, you know, the beauty of this is, you know, while I said before, the effects are obviously out of date, and Gort, the robot that accompanies Klaatu to Earth, is a dude in kind of a big foam rubber thing, and as he moves his legs, you know, you can see the bends in the supposed steel. So obviously not top-notch, but the message, the core of the film, still rings true even today. I think even more so now today. You could replace the word atom bomb with terrorist. You know, you could change so many different things out, but the core message of the film still is timeless.
Just don't put, just don't put Keanu Reeves in the starring role and you'll be fine.
You know, after seeing this film, I would be very interested to see the Keanu Reeves version from 2008, to see what they ended up doing. Because, I mean, this movie is a classic. I mean, even in the intro to this particular podcast is the bit from Klaatu.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So, at the end of the day, I highly recommend this movie if you get a chance. I know it's available on Amazon. You can watch it instantly through Amazon if you have Amazon Prime. I watched it through Hulu Plus, actually, through the movies section on Hulu Plus. So it is definitely out there and available, and I highly recommend it.
If you don't have a subscription to Hulu Plus or Amazon Prime, you can always just watch it per view. You just pay per view through Amazon. We'll have the link in our store at galacticnetcast.com, and that way you can help us help the network. Help us help you be entertained at the same time you help us do better products. So there you go. Win-win.
Boom.
Yep. Oh, random thought. I read somewhere earlier this week about the actor who plays Gort and how he got the job. He was a doorman at a theater.
I thought you were Chinese theater. Anessa.
And he was just really tall, and they're like, perfect.
I thought you were going to say, Anessa, that he went on to social networks and said, I'm going to be starring in this film called The Day the Earth Stood Still.
He would have had to have gone on radio or
put
a little blurb in the paper because I don't think he'd be alive today.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Alien Invasion Podcast. It says, feedback, Dave never inquired about this week's nicknames again. Damn it, I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
Okay, let's go back.
I'm sorry, the gentleman that played Gort actually died at the age of 42.
Oh.
He died 8 years after The Day the Earth Stood Still was made.
Sad. That's
Really
sad. Okay. All right, so Anessa, Dave, Mr. Butler Nelson, where does that come from?
Actually, all the names come from the same place. It is a TV show based in Australia called Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries.
Ah.
And the main character is Phryne Fisher, and it takes place like in the 1920s, during the whole flapper roaring 20s thing.
Uh-huh.
And she ends up deciding that she's going to become a detective, a private detective. And Mr. Butler is her butler, but he's kind of a badass.
Mr. Butler.
Mr. Butler is the butler.
Is his last name actually Butler?
Yeah, his last name is Butler.
I'm going to someday be my last name.
Well, before he was a butler, he served in the First World War and whatnot.
Okay.
So,
right.
And then Constable Collins works for the local police department, and Dot is Miss Fisher's assistant maid.
Yeah.
Not really a maid.
No, she's an assistant. She also handles like darning of socks and whatnot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sort of like
her lady in waiting.
Yeah, sort of like what's her face was in the Sherlock Holmes stories. She was kind of like always giving tea.
Yeah,
and
she was kind of like Mrs. Hudson.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of.
Okay. All right.
Kinda.
But
more involved than Mrs. Hudson.
I promise that next week I will ask what the names mean again. Or I won't forget again. Promise.
I was just going to type at the bottom and highlight it in pink.
Thank you. Thanks for the reminder. All right. You can go to galacticnetcasts.com and find out all about us. Our social network links are there. Our links to subscribe, links for feedback, all of that. Thanks for joining us. Final thoughts, Brad and Anessa, what do you got?
I'm really excited for Guardians of the Galaxy. The more I see, the more I want to see this film. I want to build a time machine so I could just show up in August 1st and see the film.
I wonder where I'll be August 1st. I'll be in Canada, obviously. I wonder what I'll be doing then. I don't know. It's an exciting year for all of us. Anessa, your final thought.
I kind of want ravioli.
Random, but good. Very nice. On that note, let's get out of here. Thanks for joining us, everybody. That's going to do it for the Alien Invasion Podcast. We'll see you guys next time. Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.